I'm yeah, back, I know. Bitch. I got the update, motherfuckers.
Okay, then. We'll see if that works any better.
The difference. Okay. The difference is unreal. Whoa, this is insane. This is crazy. What is this, AI? What the fuck is happening right now? This is insane, the difference before the update. Thank you guys so much.
Have you been
really
on?
Super stoked on the fucking update. It's fucking unbelievable, the difference, the quality. You know what I mean? Just the quality is a fucking amazing. I'm really stoked on it.
Yeah. It'd be cool if you could update humans. Could you do like, you know.
You can.
Yeah, you're right. That'll be
it's
awesome.
Easy. It's not as easy.
It's not as easy because software. We downgrade. We just, it feels like we're constantly kind of downgrading a little bit.
Degrading. Yeah. Just degrading. The hardware.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody degrades. Knows. There is no doubt. Every single person on Earth knows humans are the worst thing on Earth. Right?
Like, it could be. Nothing, that's one way to look at it. But
because everything good that humans do is for humans. You know what I mean? Like, right. There is never a human that does something really for the world. It's just to keep humans alive. You know, when people say global warming, they're just saying try to keep humans alive. They don't actually give a shit about the Earth.
Yeah, but what do you think about the people that think bad about humans as they're like, because you know, when you see people's point of view that have that point of view that humans are a blot, like
people had bad parents.
But I'm saying that's not a really tenable position to have either. So what, like, you
right,
you know, to be pro-human or anti-human, both somehow seem wrong.
No, but nobody actually believes humans are the best thing. I mean, everybody thinks we're the smartest thing on Earth. You know what I mean? Like, we're the smartest thing. We're smarter than the chimps and the lions and all that shit. But we don't actually think we're good for the Earth. I don't think. Right? Like, of course we would hurt the Earth.
I think it's a good question. It's very philosophical. Like, because, you know, generally everybody's saying.
What's songs and stories?
This is part two.
This is part two.
Oh, shit. Welcome to Songs and Stories, part two.
But, you know, there's the point of view that people always have, like, and they say as if it's the end, like, well, it's for all of humanity, as if that, like, for whatever's good for humanity, as if that's the highest aim. And it can't be the, it's not necessarily true that that's the main and only thing. It can't be, right?
Yeah,
that's what you're saying. Right. Like, there's no way
I think
that
it is. I don't think any of us here, just us four, think of how many. Well, there's like what, 7, almost 8 billion people on Earth, and us four only care about our survival. Like, at any moment, if me tried to attack one of your kids, you would do everything you could to murder me and kill me. Right? Like, you, and even if I was screaming, it's for the planet. You would never, you know what I mean? Like, you, the only thing you can care about is keeping yours, your legacy, and who you are alive.
But isn't that that's it. Everything?
Yeah, but
I mean, like animals too.
Bear.
But I'm saying, but the idea there is, no one actually cares about the planet or being good. It's just to preserve yourself.
But the circle goes from you to your people you share genes with, to your extended community, to a humanity, to beyond humanity, to care about Earth. Like, it's in the in that order.
Humanity.
In that order.
You don't care about humanity.
I care about humanity more than I care about bacteria.
You don't care. How about this? You don't care about your great-great-grandkids. You don't care about them at all. You're not thinking about them. You don't care what the fuck happens to them at all. You don't give a shit.
But you don't care about you. You don't. But you don't care about me. You don't care about me.
You might be right. You got a point.
You
there.
Don't. You only care about yourself. That's what kind of fucked up person you are, and that's what all people are like. Is your point? You can't care about anything but yourself.
No.
Which means humanity is neither here nor
you're
there.
You're putting a negative connotation to it. I'm saying that's just all you can do.
Versus your positive point of view.
I'm saying that's all.
Yeah, you came in pretty positive.
Yeah. I'm saying that's all.
Where do you
I'm
think we disagree
all you can
here? All you can be is 100% selfish is your point.
No, nobody cares about
humanity, but you started by saying humanity.
You said you cared about humanity. You started talking about humanity.
You started this argument with humanity only cares about humanity. They don't care about the planet. We only care about humanity. Right. I believe that was the opening of, that you had.
Yeah.
Which is and now your point is that humans don't care about humanity.
It's a right. good take.
But is it humans? But you started by saying we only care about humanity, and now you're saying we don't care about humanity.
When on earth have humans cared about not humanity?
Well, I take bugs outside instead of kill them personally. So maybe that just makes me feel better. So I think that means I care something about something else.
That's just about you. You know
right.
that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So I don't care about humanity.
Smash that damn spider.
You don't care about one bug smashing at your windshield, but that one you make, it's just about making you feel a little better.
I agree, but then your next point was that you would start killing us. We'd kill you if you started harming our children.
Right, you would
but your main your point is you only care about everybody only cares about themselves is your actual point, right?
That's
everybody only cares about themselves.
It's the
problem. Really, your kids, or but isn't is what other life forms have a different thing than
Matt saying your arguments are disconnected.
I'm trying to figure out where we could possibly disagree or even what you're saying before I have
made
it.
Each point that Toby is making is valid, but they're disconnected. They're not they're not supporting each other.
Toby was on the debate team, right, in high school?
And I won.
Probably.
But would your point also be that could you go as far as to say you definitely don't even care about your kids either? They're just an extension of – really, you care about you, and that's just a – you know, right? Because you don't care about your grandkids.
I was in high school, I had to debate something. I can't remember. It was about Mike Tyson. So, you know how much crazy shit Mike Tyson has done? Like, he went to prison for raping somebody. He bit Evander Holyfield's ear. He's done all this crazy shit. And honestly, he's the most human that I think is respectable. Like, I don't know. It's crazy to grow up the way he did to figure out something that could get him out of it and to be where he's at. But I was on the debate team, and I think I was arguing. What was it? It's crazy now. I mean, I guess I was like in 10th grade, and it was something about Mike Tyson. I think it was like, shit, I can't remember. But yeah, I had to debate about Mike Tyson, and I made good points, but we lost because it was Mike Tyson. And everybody's like, yeah, oh no, that guy's a bad guy. I'm like, what the fuck? That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Y'all are trying to make me sound like I'm saying there's bad guys. And I'm saying even bad guys is just a human thing. That this, it's not, there ain't no bad guys.
Yeah, no, and I'm just asking then what, and how are humans different from any other life form?
We're not. I agree. But we say we are.
Yeah.
That's my only point. We say we care about the planet, and we got to save the oceans and the polar ice caps and shit, but what are you talking about?
I've never said that.
No, you would. You've never said
so. Like, if you knew that the world would end, but I mean, there's a gradient to that. In that, like, if I told you I could give you an extra $100 a month now for the rest of your life, but after you die, everybody starves to death the world ends, and the temperature goes up. You know, 20
everybody
degrees.
Including my kids.
Yeah,
yeah.
Then no, I wouldn't do it.
Oh, so you can care about something outside of yourself. So you and your kids. Oh, so you and then your kids also have it. But the second they die, everybody else suffers from climate change.
Me. Right. Yeah, but that's still just me. I couldn't live with the thought of me doing that.
Right.
You know what I mean, but if I was, if I had no kids. Yeah, fuck everybody, fuck you.
But if you could have like
fuck everybody, if it's not my kids,
if you have $1 million,
or my girlfriend.
How about you get $1 million, but the world ends 100 years after you die? You take the million. Like everything, all life ends in the universe 100 years after you die for $1 million, and nobody will remember you. Nobody's gonna blame you.
Right. Okay. I'm just trying to answer this as truthfully as I can and as to capture everything that I think. I'm not really saying that well. I wish I could understand or think about the word I'm thinking about right now. Anyway, 100 years is too short. Because I believe that my kids will live probably 150, 200 years mm-hmm. from now.
Right.
Like, I don't, I think my kids are going to live a lot longer than me. So if you said 100 years, I would say no. Mm-hmm. But if you said 500 years.
Yeah, 500 yes. is, yeah. So people tend to, that's a studied phenomenon. Well,
I think
where
my
people,
kids will be dead and I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, so people say that basically one of the strongest economic principles that humans have in human nature is to discount the future. Like, the farther out it is, the more you discount yeah. what you would take now versus what you would get then.
Right.
And
right.
so they study that by doing, they say you can have $100 today or $500 in X amount of time. And people will, you know, yeah. they'll, you can find where the levers are and it shows it. You how much you discount, you know, the future and especially right. the future after you're gone. Like, you don't put no value on it.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot, but you would care if action you took caused the suffering of hundreds, even after you were dead. Yeah. But it'd be hard to say anything about 20,000 years from now. Like, yeah. so, but it is a steep drop off when you can't see the connection. But there is some distance where you do have care beyond yourself, it does seem.
Yeah. So if I told you, like, hey, I'm going to give you $20 million, but you're not going to wake up tomorrow, would you take it? So you're saying tomorrow is worth more than $20 million to you? Think about that.
You know, I did hear a really that. Good one.
Gary V.
No, I did hear a really good one.
$100 million.
Would you give up all of your net worth to be 33 years old? To be, yeah. you know, or to be 25 well, years old?
To roll it back whatever amount. Yeah, I'd, right. I'd go back like, to 20.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people say they get, all they do is work so that they'll have money later. But anybody that's 60 would give, of course, all the money they had to be to free more youth. They would give you. Right. You go. You take yourself down to zero in a heartbeat to get years back.
Yeah, zero is fun at 20. It didn't matter.
Right,
it's like and, awesome.
Yeah. So it's like you work. Why would you trade all your time working to get money later when you would trade all your money later to get time back?
Would y'all take $100 million right now to know you're going to die in 6 months?
No.
No.
You're going to die in 6 months, but you're going to leave your family the best they could ever be set up.
No,
I think that would destroy my family.
Yeah, that's bad. It'd be bad for the family.
It'd be
right?
the worst thing ever having my family double way. They lose their dad and they get the money.
Yeah, I had that bit about the GoFundMe and Cassie literally being better off without me. But
yeah,
and it's a joke. It's a joke.
It's a joke, but there's always truth in a joke, right?
Well, yeah, and the thing,
your family would be better off without you.
Yeah, the suicide people.
Your family would be better off.
Yeah. Everyone would be better off without me if I was just dead. Now, GoFundMe made that true.
Everybody but dead.
Actually,
in this
true.
Scenario. Kids would be better off.
Well, you get if you overcome the
you
death of
that,
a parent,
right?
you come out stronger.
You have to know it. Devin's kids won't because he's already got it. And he's, you know,
oh,
he's,
that's
he's
funny.
Gonna be there in a way, but I mean, Lunter's kids aren't going to be like better off if he lives. And Matt, you know, and me.
Your kids have to go switch houses every week.
I know,
week.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
know,
just
that's
like, tough. My, stay put.
If I died right now, I have a $500,000 life insurance policy.
Nice.
Trust me, I've thought about it. And so they get $500,000. They don't have to switch houses anymore.
Yeah, that
my
money wouldn't destroy
them. My ex would move back into this house that she left.
They'd have, pay off the house.
And they would be sad. It'd be
forever
for weeks, but then after that, I mean, you get them a car and all that.
Well, but definitely if you had like 4 year old and a 2 year old, because then they wouldn't remember you,
right?
And then it could
That'd
just
be
always
so
be
weird,
this.
Though,
but then it could be all that. This thing. Their whole my dad died when I was a kid. It's only to their advantage.
But think about it.
That's my point.
And they probably get a killer stepdad because Jessica She could have rechose something better,
Yeah. But think about the idea that your kid, one of your kids, never knew who you were.
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
No, that's great.
That's weird.
No, it's not. It's weird.
They never
knew
me. Like,
I mean,
my youngest Remy, he never met my mom.
There's a huge amount of percentage of the population that doesn't know their dad.
I know.
Yeah.
Like 30%
that is alive.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
saying,
for all
and
kind
I
know
of
my dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know my dad at all and I know him.
Yeah.
So I mean, what's that for me? Like, I know him well and not at all. Yeah, Matt, do you know your dad?
Not anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
I used to. That's for sure.
It might like how would it if he didn't make it to this year?
He did it.
Would your memory be better of him? Your dad's changed, right? In the last year or two. So if he
it's actually been over a long period of time.
Your memory of him would have been of higher quality.
Yeah, it's just a
right.
Yeah.
So isn't that weird? Like you have more time with your dad, less good memory with him. It's like he's fucking up everything by living.
Not necessarily, but our paths have diverged somewhat. Is all that from the what they used to be more aligned, and now they're less aligned.
There's something weird about the. There's something weird though. Once you know they're not fit in your physical world anymore. Like there's something weird about that. Like whether or not I know people have had real bad relationships with their parents and they don't care if they're alive or dead, but if you know your parent or you have any relationship with them at all, there's a weird feeling when you find out they're no longer in your physical space. You know what I mean? Like it feels more like an instinct than a emotion.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It might be something to that physically that we just don't know how to measure. Do you think?
Right.
Like, don't you think there's like connections that might be what you would be called now mystical or spiritual that one day could be maybe measured?
Yeah.
That, like, you are connected to them while they're, you know what I mean? Like, there is something different if they're gone. Or more weirdly, even when they're gone, you still, the other way of looking at it is even though they're gone, you still have, that point of view is pretty realistic too. It's like they're still with you in your memories and in your model of them. So that's a real point of view too, I think.
That's true.
Both could be looked at or you know, they're in heaven and there's a connection where they're still looking down. Like there's at least three ways to look at that.
But it could be just that it's you thinking of you because they're gone now. Right. Like that's the other thing. Like it's still not even about them or connection. It's just
wait.
That person that made me's dead.
Yes.
Guess what? I'm going to be dead. Oh, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, this is going to end.
Yeah. That
person that I trusted my whole life. Well, they're gone. That's really hard to face.
It's one of the biggest things that lets you
hated my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it really affects your sense of your own mortality.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it's a selfish kind of thought, but there is something different about it. Like I've heard, you know, some people say like, "Oh, I don't think I'll be affected this way or that way," but then when their parent dies, they are affected more than they thought they were going to be. It's, you know, stuff like that. But
Now Toby has the most point. I mean, most of Toby's extreme points of view come out of. I mean, I don't think it's that crazy either, but Toby still has this very trauma. No, I mean, you really, more than anybody I know, or you know, even philosophical people and stuff, you really have like a deep intuition that your reality that you experience from your point of view is the totality of reality, you know, whether or not that means that I'm having my own also or not, that you don't, but you are pretty sure that your whole reality, I mean, and I don't think that's necessarily wrong. I think it's a valid philosophical way to look at it that doesn't necessarily invalidate other things.
Thank you.
But Toby really does have a very deep suspicion that the reality that he has access to through his perceptions is the totality. There's not something outside of him. And I don't think that's totally crazy. I really don't think that's crazy. But it has some – it sounds kind of crazy, some of the outputs from that. But in a way, that probably is true. That is at least true on some level that you only have access to all the things that you perceive. And you are, in some sense, alone in that reality that you create, that your brain makes a simulation. Like you're not experiencing reality out here. You're just experiencing your model of reality in here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, some of that makes sense. It's pretty consistent in some way.
Okay, let me ask you a question. do you think, like, you're only seeing it from POV, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Right. You're seeing Matt even from POV, even though you're not seeing Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the way you think of yourself moving, talking to people, doing stuff, is that what it really is?
Mm-mm.
Or is it, right? So
I totally
you
agree
actually
with Toby.
Are creating a Matt for
yes.
you.
Right.
That no one else in the whole world is seeing. Like, you're the only
they have no
person
access.
That sees Matt in some way, and you are actually acting as that Matt.
Right. Yes, like I completely
me,
agree
like,
that that's
like, which is why sometimes I couldn't be more caught off guard by my photos of me sometimes. I'm like, who the fuck is that? Like that's why maybe it's called body dysmorphia or something, but like, who the fuck is on that stage with a microphone? That's not what he thought it was. You know what I mean? Like, that guy there, that's me. Whatever that is not what I thought I looked like at all on stage. And if I did think I looked like that, I would not be on that stage. I'd be petrified or miserable or never could do it. Right. But I have something, and now we call it ego or whatever it might be, that says, no, Toby's this.
The like, illusion of self.
Right. The illusion of that, right. of what is actually.
Right.
What
it
I
says
think
illusion.
Is real.
Yes.
And so then I manifest it in some way that I think also affects even the viewer of me that does see something, just a hint of it. They see me, whatever I am in that moment, but they also, I'm projecting some energy of self that you guys or whoever it is, the viewers of Emory see too and go, man, that look at that lead singer up there. But when I see a still picture, I'm like, oh, or even a video. I'm like, oh no, that who is that?
Am
that
I right too that Lunsford completely zones out of this whole type of activity?
Oh, totally. He can't,
is
he
that
can't,
true?
He can't have a deep conversation. I mean,
no, I'm just saying this particular topic. Oh, yeah, no, I think he glazes on.
Hey,
is that right?
Let's talk about frittatas.
It's just, yeah, it's interesting because Toby's
pork loin. He's
Toby
back.
Is I think he is. Becoming or has become
no Devin
the grizzled
Devin?
Old man like
no,
you are
I don't think so
the grizzled old man
you,
I think
Devin, that's
and
mean.
I don't mean that like that, it, like even negatively
well,
I don't
it really hurts me
but
deeply,
your perspective so. Is generally negative
no it's not
I think
it's
that
generally
is
generally negative
I think
no,
that
Devin.
The negative external things he says are a way
say
to deal
N-word,
with that.
But your negatives equal a positive. It's like you present things negatively.
Yes.
And somehow they cross and equal a positive to your group of friends.
It's to balance something. Yeah, for sure. But don't
you know what I mean?
But don't you think that okay, so I'm gonna say what Toby said, and I do agree with what Toby
don't
is
smoke
saying.
Weed and drink.
I'm not I haven't had it. I haven't
keep
had
going,
it either. Yeah. I haven't had either.
Well, can we tell why? Can we talk about why you haven't had either or not? You
sure.
Feel comfortable there?
What's okay. wrong?
I just well, I mean, since I got sick that time
well,
a couple weeks ago, I just
I
haven't had the
I would say the time you died.
It was a near-death experience.
Okay, well, let me say the thing about reality, and we'll do that.
All right.
Yeah. Now, I'm trying to say what Toby's saying in a different, from a slightly different point of view. But let's just say I believe that the universe fundamentally is mathematical. Like, okay. it's like some matrix, like it's not, like, what you're experiencing that you call reality isn't what it is. It's just what you, how you interpret the raw data that is the mathematical structure of chaos that is the universe. Like it's some chaotic string of mathematical something or another, which I think is probably right.
Yep.
And then you make sense out of it with your perceptions, perceive stuff in that chaos, and you say, and you come up with time and space and sound and pressure and, you know, light and dark, like you, and you, your brain's able to work them into some thing that you go, oh, reality. But really, you have a 360 VR synthesizer in your hardware.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if that is true, then that agrees with what Toby's saying. It's like your perception of the thing isn't the thing itself at all. Like that, I do think that's right. True. The thing you think is a tree isn't a tree. That isn't true. It's just there's just stuff. And right. If you zoom out or zoom in, it's not a tree anymore. So right. It's just a point of view right. That would say there's a tree. If you zoom in enough, you start seeing cells. If you zoom in more, you start seeing atoms. If you zoom out, you see a forest and then a planet and then a galaxy. So it's, but right. Your only thing you do have is the model you create in your self of stuff. So in that sense, we all have a model, but they're actually separate realities. So Toby yeah. Is in a way trapped in only his reality. I think that there's is no true. Way out. Well, I don't know what's beyond it, but or what happens when you die, or how you got here.
Some people would say I have mental issues.
I'll tell you what's beyond it. Hell.
Yeah.
Hell is
Now, here's what I want to say. One last thing about what you just said. You said you're a mathematical fiend. You love mathematics and seeing as math. Is that what you said? Something like that.
I didn't say I love it. Unford, I just said, what did he say? It is.
Yeah, something yep. Like that. See,
mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Lunsford. I'm saying before us, was there math? Before humans, was there math? Was there
no?
This okay. And so
I use the word and concept math just, to.
I know, but we just even.
Describe something.
We just even said this math thing is real. And that's how we're going to view the world, even like you said, there's a tree. Is it not really a tree? Math isn't really a math. Like it, right. It isn't crazy to say 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 like that. Now we're in some kind of, you know, there's a woke thing too now that's saying that and pushing back against that. That's not what I'm talking about, but it's not crazy to go. Math is a construct for us to just
it is.
Try to stay
yeah,
alive.
It is. Exactly. I totally
even,
agree with that.
It isn't. Yeah. It, right. Even it is really trustworthy if you go a few extra steps.
It just works.
But it just feels like it is, right?
You know, yeah. It's just working right. For now in this time and place, yeah. We think, yeah. And we seem to agree.
I mean, all the sciences are just our best way of
most
interpreting
functional.
What we live in.
Yeah.
It's here and now. It may be different elsewhere in yeah. The universe. You know, yeah. We wouldn't know.
Lunsford, why does this make you, this conversation make you want to kill yourself? Like, what is it? Like,
I just don't think about anything in the terms yeah. That this
you
happens
stop there.
Sometimes.
You stop right there. Yeah.
I just don't think about anything. I'm somewhat shallow in some way, but
I
mean, it's just
I
what do
say
I
somewhat? I would just say,
like, what's the shallow. Deepest you like to the deepest?
Yeah,
you
how
go?
Far do you go? What's the, where's the deep? Yeah, that's true. That's a this is a really good question actually. As a friend,
like spiritually, you. Like, you've been a Christian and believer,
yeah,
but you never go deep with that. Never
yeah,
deep.
Goes, like, no.
You go deep in stats. Deep.
I like to talk. Well, deep I mean, like, I like to think about stuff deeply, but
what's
not,
the deepest type of
yeah,
what?
Where would you
stats.
Go?
I'm so saying I get in my stats. Get in my feelings about stuff for sure, but I'm not. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know how to answer this question.
But feelings like, is different.
It's
than,
different. I yeah. So I
because you're intellectually. Almost, smart and academically smart, your
yeah,
processor is very good, but you don't use it to pontificate about deep intellectual
no,
things.
It's much ado about nothing to me.
But feelings, maybe you go deep and you have beliefs and stuff, but you don't do logical thought about deep things.
Not deep, like,
but you
no,
seem the, like you're capable of it.
Well, but the deepest I'll go with logical thought is just applying it to a practice LSAT test. And doing well on that, but then it's
competing.
Like, yeah, exactly. Right. But yeah,
I get out of it. Yeah,
yeah. I think I guess a lot of people probably think I'm dumb, and maybe.
I
don't know.
Understand that you're smart, but I think it's an anomaly about you that being yeah. As smart as you obviously are, you don't yeah. Do philosophical.
Not philosophical.
Anything
no,
like that.
Not. I like to talk deeply about. Art or the way something might make me feel like music
yeah,
or something
the,
like that
yeah,
or
yeah.
Or I like to like comedy like I like to getting into thinking about how to try to figure that out and make, but yeah like I don't the universe or our existence or consciousness like
don't care
green jacket gold jacket who gives a shit
you just don't care like, about trying to figure out the ultimate questions and the, like I mean I have a strong
none.
Pull
none.
Toward yeah. That
Why do you like us then? I feel like we do that all the time. What is
y'all
the,
do
what,
it a lot?
What's the draw for us? Like, why do you like me and Matt and Devin?
Well, some of that is entertaining. Like, you know, when that type of stuff happens on the bus, it's getting to watch y'all go it cutting up or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know. We just fuck around and have fun. I feel like I can always. You never go too deep. I could bring it back maybe a little bit. By just, you know, dropping an N-bomb or something like that.
Yeah. And then we're just back.
I tell you, though.
It's the easiest way to get a conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not interested in it at all. I'm not interested in thinking about God or anything.
It is funny, though. Sometimes I'll have a conversation with somebody around here or whoever that I know. And occasionally I'll be thinking like, huh. This is not at all a deep conversation, and it's kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
Like, I think, I feel like it weighs less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no weight to it. So, like, but I enjoy deep, you know, meaningless conversations about whatever, but with you guys. But sometimes when you're away from it, you're like, oh, this is like what it feels like to be a kind of a normal person.
Well, all the things you're talking about, we're not going to figure out. But I tell you what, we could figure out maybe the best Leonardo DiCaprio movie. We might be able to figure that out.
Right.
At the end of a conversation. But all of that other stuff. Hmm. Yeah. And it's fun. So, yeah. I love pop culture. See, just that. Just getting to talk about pop culture.
Shallow.
Yeah, very shallow.
Doesn't like shallow.
No, I like that. I like that because when you do that with Lunsford, it's still going to be fast and it's wide. It's not.
Yeah,
deep,
it's not like it's you like music. Yeah, like everything, man.
Right, like that's nothing. The shallow stuff. When you're in some shallow conversation, that's also not interesting or bold or there's nothing going to it. Then this, you know, I really can't possibly track with it, but. If you're in an argument about something shallow or a strong opinion or it's high energy, high engagement, fast.
Yeah.
It can be about something shallow. I'm happy.
Well, it's
but
like
it has
lyrics.
To be. I need more stimulation. It can be deep or wide, but it's got to be fast. It's got to give me something. It can't just be. You know, I mean, I'm really.
Well, no,
can't.
I mean, I don't like conversations that you have to carry and they're hard.
Yeah.
I just mean like keeping it shallow. I don't mind that. I mean, in a
shallow
sense, of like
bland and low energy.
I'm saying
not, I can't do
keeping it.
It
shallow, but not
fun
bland.
Or
fun shallow.
Well, it's like
we're not trying to have this big deep conversation. We're just having fun on the surface. You know,
like
what I'm
song lyrics, I don't care about at all. Don't know them. Not impressed by them. Like somebody tries to talk to me about a Cody lyric, I'm just like, bro, I don't even know. I don't know anything about that. Because I don't care what he's saying. it is inconsequential.
Okay,
to
but
me,
something so. Is wrong with that to me because you know that Cody is more talented than other people. You have a keen awareness of that, but one of the things that gives his I mean everybody knows that Cody's lyrics and vulnerability is really what his talent is kind of built around, and you as much as anybody have experiential awareness of his talent, and so you're on the surface denying, in my opinion, you're denying that you care about the lyrics but nonetheless are affected by them.
I'm just saying I get why people feel that way about his lyrics.
It's still affecting
and the aura
processing them in the
but I swear
realm.
Yeah, but I swear to God the reason I joined Acid's Burn because I liked a guitar riff he wrote. Like
yeah,
I
but
moved
I think that,
to
I don't
Louisiana.
Think you can separate it, but I think
maybe
it's I think you're affected by it. Like if you, let's just say like you can't listen to Let the Bodies Hit the Floor by Drowning Pool and say that the lyrics aren't affecting you. They are.
No, they are. But yeah, I guess so.
You
when
know what
I say
saying?
I don't
it's
care
coming,
about,
even if you just think you're into it for one, it is happening. The lyric thing is affecting you on your subconscious level, period. And then you don't know, you're not processing with that part of your mind because you don't like to do that. But I think his lyrics are going into your awareness subconsciously and causing your appreciation.
Well, sure. I'll accept that.
Chris, I need you to play that Drowning Pool song at the end of this episode. Now I want to listen to it.
Man, I was trying to do a new metal draft with Micah and James from O Sleeper, and Micah is the flakiest person in the world. I don't know how y'all have ever gotten him on this podcast.
He's been on.
Yeah, he's been on. He's been like a fill-in fourth, like, you know, like a real host.
Any
like
memory a real fourth. Of that. I don't have any memory of that.
Well,
maybe I wasn't here. Maybe he filled in for me.
Maybe that's what it was.
Okay.
Oh, he I told thought you were talking about Micah Dean. You're talking about Micah.
Oh, no. Micah, sorry. Micah from O Sleeper.
Right,
no.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
He told an amazing story. Remember the flight attendant?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hard. He's slippery, but he's just scattered. He's a scattered.
Yeah.
You got to know how to handle those slippery guys, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
All right. We got a story.
I'm supposed to just talk about.
Yeah.
You don't know. You were not really there until after.
Oh, we got to tell that story about when you
What are we doing?
Is this on part two or on the...
Yeah, we're still on part two, but Toby was getting at me not drinking or being high. He was
saying... I thought the reason was the story. Am I wrong? Yeah. I might be wrong.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just
Why
saying that...
Why haven't you drank or done drugs?
I told Toby the other day that I haven't drank or used weed since that trip.
Yeah,
and
that's
what
I'm saying.
For no
and
reason
I've only done
other
it
than...
Since that trip. Yeah.
It just like for no reason other than
right
hasn't appealed to me since, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, I was saying the story.
No appetite.
The story is part of that reason.
Well, I mean, Toby said they told the story the other week.
Oh, okay.
No, we didn't.
I don't think so. We never talked about it.
I don't know.
No, we did.
We need to tell the story.
Yeah, well, I'm fine to tell it, but I tried to tell it the week I got back, and y'all said we already had Tid told it, but that's okay. Or I can do it on part uno.
All right, let me.
No, we never said that part one.
Oh, we can do it on part one. That's a good story.
We'll do that. We'll have done that story by the time you got here anyway, because this is part two. So we'll open the main with that story then.
All right, then. Anyway. Let's decide the best Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
All right now?
Just what it.
Okay.
Let's name a handful.
Name a top
guess how many movies he's been in.
I think it's something like 29.
Okay.
I'm going to go 34.
Okay. Matt? How many movies has Leonardo DiCaprio...
The number? I'm just saying the number?
No,
I bet
this
50.
Is movies and TV shows. I'm sorry.
Well, TV shows. I mean, that's...
Yeah. I'll stick with my number. I don't know.
50 movies is what I'm saying.
That's a good guess. 47.
47.
Do you know that he was on an episode of Roseanne? He was Darlene's classmate. He was uncredited. He was in the TV show Parenthood. He was in Critters 3. He was in the movie Poison Ivy.
Really?
And, of course, Growing Pains. You know from that.
Yeah.
The Growing Pains. And that's when everything went nuclear for him. Because he was in This Boy's Life, which is a pretty big movie. And then the big one was The Basketball Diaries.
Yeah.
And then
can we name a top 5 to 7-ish? Yep. I mean, can we just kind of throw those out there and think about them for a second?
Well, so Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
That's up there.
Put that up there.
The Revenant. The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, fun.
The Great Gatsby. Titanic.
Django.
Django.
Inception.
Inception's probably
Shutter Island. Revolutionary Road.
Departed.
Body of Lies.
Departed.
Diamond. The Departed. The Aviator.
Romeo and Juliet. Aviator's awesome.
I love Aviator.
Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
Catch Me If You Can is awesome. Gangs of New York.
Catch Me If You Can
is
great.
The Beach. The Man in the Iron Mask, which I actually love that movie. I thought that was
a good movie. Yeah, I liked it.
Marvin's Room, The Quick and the Dead, and The Basketball Diaries. Basically, that's it. What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yep.
You know what I mean? These are some serious movies here. So if you
don't look up.
Say let's stick. Yeah.
Sucked, but.
Don't
I
look
love
up.
Catch Me If You
You're
Can.
Right.
Man, Catch Me If You Can is great.
It's hard for me not to say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or Inception. Those two, for me.
Inception,
huge.
Gangs of New York.
I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is his best film that he was a part of, but he was also, him and Brad Pitt were kind of carrying it together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's Quentin Tarantino. So I don't, like, yes. Because it's also maybe my favorite Quentin movie. I'm still trying to work that out.
How crazy is it that he's in that and Django, which I love. Yeah, Django is great. So good, but he's just the a bit part in that one. He's not like you know what I mean? Jamie Foxx and the other dude.
Man, and upon a time in Hollywood, when he just does that scene in the chair with the little girl in the scene, I was like, my gosh, that was so good.
I know.
The trailer.
Yeah, that was like a...
You're going to quit drinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking done with this shit.
Yeah. I mean, that is great. Now, I'm going to say I love The Wolf of Wall Street. One is just like because it's not good, but he makes you feel good. Like you are pulling for him and you like him and he's bad and he's doing fucked up things, but you still are like, it's just such a good, and he's, some people get mad if you say you're just copying a person that lived that, but I think he makes something more. I don't think the real character was that much.
No,
you know what I mean?
No,
like I don't
definitely
like,
not.
Like he makes something unbelievable happen. But I mean, also, I love The Revenant.
The Revenant. I like.
I could watch it over and over and over.
I like those style of movies.
So I don't know.
I don't think Matt and Lusford like that as much.
I'm embarrassed to say I still haven't seen The Revenant.
I haven't.
You haven't seen The Revenant?
I still haven't seen it.
Ow. No.
It's his only movie I haven't seen, I think.
It's so good.
I don't remember how I missed it, and then I've just been waiting to have the like energy to go do it.
It's a feat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was just like it took a lot to watch it and stuff, so I just...
But, man, there's a scene in that movie is just so unbelievable. Unbelievable. But it's just great.
I used to say The Departed, but I watched The Departed recently, and it doesn't hold up as much as I liked it at the time.
Interesting.
To me, it doesn't hold up quite as much.
Okay.
It's a little... I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
Watch it again.
It's just not... Whenever I saw it the first time, I was like, this movie is one of the greatest movies that's ever been made. And then watching it again, it let me down a little bit. There's a couple of little, I don't know.
I just feel like Once Upon a Time is some of his best acting because it is so different than probably how he really is.
Yeah.
Very kind of lacking confidence, like struggling at the end of his career, maybe worried, you know.
Yeah.
So for him to tap into whatever that might feel like, because Leo is never going to be not who he is. Like he's gonna be like Paul Newman or you know somebody like that.
Man, and Brad Pitt in that movie too.
Oh
so
yeah,
so good. As well as that, what's our decision? Me and Lunsford agree. I don't know if Matt.
There's some recency bias there, but it's really good.
Matt, what's your vote?
I think Inception is good, but maybe not his best performance, but it's hard to untangle that from being a good movie.
To me, that was like a vehicle for him as a movie star.
I love Aviator and Catch Me If You Can. They both have airplanes in them. I don't know why, but the way he plays both those characters, I think is like good on his part. Like what he does in those two movies is
I love it. Points taken off because he's young in Titanic, because what a movie.
Titanic, the most important movie he's ever done, for sure. Titanic,
has to be, biggest movie. And like when you think about something that wants to make you go to the movies, that's that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I think he was great in Titanic. I thought him and Kate were both great.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I just think there's a little bit of an idea there that he was too young. So I don't know.
Now, Lunsford, you just said you just saw Babylon, didn't you?
I sure did. Two nights.
It was so good, wasn't it?
It's so good. The critics are idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they're talking about.
It's such a fun movie.
It's everything I want in a movie. I mean, it's so out there and wild. And it gives you so much. It has so much to give you.
So much. Matt, you got to see it.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I'm down to see that. I see things.
It's the only way a movie could be that's not an action movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
I think now, like, it had everything right from the get go. You're like, I'm into this. Whoa. And it brings you in a way that shows you old Hollywood, and that Hollywood's always been crazy and bad right from the get go. It's a sin. It's a sinful city. You know what I mean?
Bad place.
And you just would pay anything just to be in that room and that opening scene of the party.
Right.
You just like, God, this
and Brad Pitt again. Crazy. Incredible. Yeah, Margot Robbie, incredible.
I mean, Brad Pitt is amazing in that movie.
Incredible.
He's amazing. I love. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We should do a draft for movies.
For sure. Yeah, there's kind of a big podcast that does that. But a movie.
Oh, there is a big.
I copied the music draft off a podcast that literally, it's like the biggest movie podcast, and they do movie drafts.
What's it called?
But doesn't mean you still. It's called The Big Picture.
Oh, that's right.
It's The Ringer. It's Sean Fantasy. He's like the main editor for content at The Ringer for entertainment and stuff.
He's good.
He loves Babylon. Yeah. So if you listen to that podcast, they're Babylon people.
Yeah. I mean, some people shit on it, but I mean, it was just such a fun movie. It didn't do good at the box office.
No, it did bad. And
yeah,
it's a little on the artsy-ish side, but not overly.
Well, that's the same
ending. The ending, I'm like, oh, ending drew out. Fucking get out of here.
How long is it?
3 hours.
3 hours plus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't you like the ending?
I'm trying to remember. Trying to wrap it up that like it really mattered, and this one guy that was from Mexico or wherever he was from was like, oh, you know what? I'm back, and I'm bringing my child back, and I was like, what the fuck?
What time do you have to start a 3 hour movie to not fall asleep?
I started it at 7:45.
I never can, like, if I'm gonna watch a movie, I have supper, put the dishes away, put on the sweatpants, and now it's. I don't have time for a 3 hour movie, and there's no chance I can stay. So then I have to watch it in two parts. And it's like, okay. And just never.
Well, me and Toby saw
it
in the theater on the Songs and Stories.
Yeah, that I could do only in the theater, maybe, but
in the afternoon, maybe.
I disagree with Toby about the ending, but all right.
I'll have to rethink it a little bit. I felt like
the ending was
just
like trying to be some kind of emotional thing where the character had to leave Hollywood, but then he comes back and just goes, look at what I. This is what I created and or was a part of. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Just leave it like sinful and bad. Like, why do you got to try to make it, wrap it up at the end that it's emotional and good? You know what
well,
I mean?
Because there was there's like regret and like there. I mean, it was really about, I don't know.
Yeah,
like the end is like a love letter to movies and the Hollywood industry and where it ended up going. It's, you know, a long montage of the entire history of Hollywood, basically. So
don't get so fucking deep.
Sorry.
Yeah. Unless we're going deep.
Talking about.
Yeah. Toby's like, man, why are they getting deep, man, at the end of this movie?
But for real, I don't want to give anything away before we end, but that rattlesnake scene.
It's unbelievable.
Was unbelievable.
Yeah. Devin and I were high and laughing so hard. Like, we couldn't stop laughing. There was several, like, laugh out loud things. Movie, and Brad Pitt was usually a part of that, but I mean, it was just so funny, that rattlesnake scene. I was like, this is unbelievable.
I loved the scene of them trying to do the scene with the sound.
Yes.
That's
hilarious.
Margot Robbie.
Yes.
So yeah. But then she nails it and you're like, oh, I thought that was amazing acting.
Yeah,
I really did. Yeah, I was like, great. Well, she's frustrated. It's not working. And then, I mean, I highly recommend the movie. It's so fun.
Okay, my favorite part of this podcast part two episode was the part where Lunsford said, because I'm picturing the audience, and we're doing the part where me and Toby talk real deep on the bus until Lunsford says till he drops the N-bomb, and then a bunch of people going, I knew it! I knew it!
People think you do say that.
They said
probably.
I bet he's.
They think our friend Lunsford is the bad guy that does bad things. They wish.
I guarantee
we didn't
you
hang
some
out
people
with
said
you
I knew
they
it.
Think you say stuff like that.
Yeah,
and you don't.
No, they have no idea how bad people are.
No,
I know.
Yeah,
I know some bad people.
Yes, you.
I'd say I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Like everybody in your band, bad people.
Bad.
Real bad.
Just throw them under the bus. Cody, you should hear the racist shit Cody from the
city. Oh my gosh.
It's unbelievable.
It makes me sick. It makes me fucking sick. You could start a rumor like that about somebody and
about
like
anybody.
On this podcast.
Yeah.
Like we go to the main episode and just say, Yeah.
Say bad stuff.
Dustin Kentrew, the fucking shit he says backstage makes me sick.
Real quiet, but get him drunk and just you won't believe it.
Oh,
yeah.
He has two beers, that motherfucker. Yeah. Don't let him around Jewish people. You could say something, that'd be real bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
people do that.
He'd probably sue us, I guess. I'm joking, obviously.
Right? It's real hard with public people. It's really hard. If somebody's public, it's hard to get sued for, that's like a thing in the law.
Fortunately, he doesn't say anything interesting backstage.
Yeah, anything.
Forever. I wish he did. It makes me really sad that he's not more interesting.
There's got to be some situation where he cuts loose somehow. Ever?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't know if he allows himself to.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. He just doesn't allow himself to.
Like, here's my impression of listening.
Has he never been in a silly mood?
So good.
He's never been silly.
He's never been in a silly mood so far. Good.
Here's my impression of listening to a Dustin Kentrew interview. Yeah?
Yeah.
Here it is. This is a Dustin Kentrew interview that I'm listening to.
Okay.
Boring!
The first time we had him on the podcast, I was like, this isn't, like, 10 minutes in, I'm like, is this real?
God.
You know what I mean? I thought he was going to be better. And I knew it from when he was a worship leader at Mars Hill. I was there, too. We went on a retreat together, and I was like, what am I missing here? What am I not getting? It has to be me. There's no way this guy who wrote music that I think is good. You know what I mean? Like, they're still writing music.
And he is capable and does deep thought, but it's not engaging. Yes. It's not that he's not smart and doesn't think
so
deeply.
Careful.
Meanwhile, Lunsford won't think deep, but it's entertaining and fun. And he might think deep, which I like, but the speed, the pace, the vulnerability of it is so zero that I can't ever get on the page.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to the first time he was on Bad Christian,
almost any podcast he's been on, I can't find it.
To if you need to go to sleep, like
if you're having insomnia.
Yeah, Red Maurer should hire him.
He's a sleep pod guy for sure because he's saying coherent things. It's not nonsense. It's just the speed of it pulls you.
Whenever we tried to joke with him, he would not joke with us at all. Zero joking. Wouldn't go with us. You know, he has no improv skills at all. There's nothing.
I do not like unfunny people, and I certainly don't like people that can't just laugh and at least have fun
right
around the people being funny. Being unfunny is bad enough.
That's what's so funny, too, is I love it that people like that go, he heard our podcast and thought low of it, I think, because it was the way he just kind of acted. I don't think he thought, I should say it this way. He, of course, and rightly so, didn't think we were intellectuals or really
artists.
A good boundary.
Neither intellectuals nor artists. Yeah, that's right.
But he's the same person, too, that is shocked that Bad Christian was so big and his podcast never got big. He has no understanding of why our podcast would be important or cool or even influential or funny even, and why his wasn't be received so much more.
Yeah,
like he just can't even go there. Like he just can't even understand it. And it's because whatever he's saying is super careful and not.
Yeah, it's the careful.
It's
that's
pseudo
what it is.
Deep. It's pseudo intellect. But it's not really. Because it's too careful. He's not going to really present an idea that's dangerous.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right.
See ya.
See ya.